This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated.
This is Games at Work, episode 62, Gamification, Carrots, and Sticks, and was recorded Friday the 20th of September, 2013. Hello, and welcome again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin, one of your three co-hosts, coming to you live from Budapest, Hungary, or Budapest, if I pronounce it properly. Getting myself very excited for the big chocolate festival that's going to happen this weekend. Yay!
Chocolate festival. Mentioned that. Get out.
There is a chocolate festival coming up, and I will drop you a link to it after the show so you can see. And you hear the voice of my fabulous co-host, Phaedra Boynodiris. Hi, Phaedra.
Hey, how are you? I thought, wait a minute. Isn't this the time of year for Oktoberfest and beers?
Yes, although in the festival calendar here in Budapest, they have something every week. So last week was the wine festival, and there were some awesome wines, awesome wines. I will share with you my photo stream from the wines that we enjoyed and had little sips of. That was really, really good. This weekend is the Chocolate Festival, and coming soon is the Palinka Festival, which I'm very, very excited about. The beer festival is actually a couple weeks ago, so we had a chance to try some beers too. So it's we're on the circuit.
Very cool.
So we are not joined today by our fabulous co-host, Michael Rowe, because he spent all morning in line to get his new iPhone, which he now has in his proud possession. And I'm sure he's not spending his time playing with it now or setting up his fingerprint or on the fingerprint reader. He is catching up on all the things he would have done were he not in line this morning, like eat and little tiny things like that. So, Michael, we miss you already, and maybe you will even join us in progress. We'll find out as we go. So today, got some very exciting things to talk about. We've got three big topics to talk about today. Two are kind of ideation. Let's think about some neat ways of doing things. And one is a very topical subject, unfortunately a very sad subject, that's focused on what happened in the Navy Yard recently in the United States. And this is the shooting that happened there. And there's an article in the Huffington Post, Phaedra, that you saw that is looking to understand linkages between video games and extreme violence.
And we see this every time there's a violent attack where the attacker has any level of experience with first-person shooters. Every time this happens, the press or certain facets of the press will write about the linkage between violent video games and the violence that is perpetrated in society. And so in this particular case with the Naval Yard shooter, it came out that he had been playing video games, violent ones, for up to 16 hours a day, which of course is excessive. Really, there's quite a lot of discussion. It seems that Congress is being pressured to go and do yet another review on the violence of video games and having it be yet even more regulated. Mind you, there is already regulation of the video gaming industry. Of course, it's self-regulation where publishers will go and they'll mark on there whether a game is mature, what level of violence is within the game, so that, of course, this doesn't get in the hands of children. I'm not quite sure why Congress is going to be spending the time on this. It's very strange. Some of these press outlets will immediately jump to the fact that he has played these violent video games, but then not mention the history of mental illness of this person or the fact that he had been treated for anger management, or talk about the dearth of mental health here within the United States, and the fact that there's a critical need for facilities to help these individuals. So it's interesting.
Yes, I sense, you know, from afar, and not being as close to and exposed to U.S. media right now as I am when I'm in the United States, the extent of this conversation. But you're right, anytime there is a violent event, this is one of the items that does come up. And it's not only games, it's usually the broader, wider media. There are focus elements on movies, there are focus elements on TV, et cetera. It's a sad action, no matter how you slice it.
Agreed. But it does also open up the question of games for good. And given the fact that mental health care here within this country is so lacking in many regards, is there an opportunity for using serious games to be able to start treating more and more people? I myself have heard several teams of game developers who've come to me with ideas on, for example, using games that to treat depression mm-hmm. in certain groups. And I think there's something very interesting there. Certainly there have been studies and projects associated with using video games to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. So why not depression? I mean, what's the next step? How is it that these games might be able to be stretched, especially if it is using haptics, if it's using emotive, for example, to manage heart rate and pulse and blood pressure? Is there a way to be able to utilize these games to treat some of these more severe mental illnesses?
You know, I would think that there could be some really interesting elements just on the haptic element of it, the way of training your brain and being able to get yourself into a better position because of the way the game can lead you to more positive mental health outcomes. By no means are we suggesting that this is an adequate substitute for medical professionals and facilities that are desperately needed to treat individuals who have mental health problems. But this is a very intriguing subject area and could be very beneficial to the people who right now are going without anything.
Agreed.
So you know, along those same lines, there's a couple of other ideas, and we're going to switch gears just a little bit and into some more of the where's the game in it kind of subject that I've been thinking about in a couple of different areas. One of them is focusing on travel. I have an upcoming trip to Wiesbaden, Germany, where I'm going to be doing a presentation on business process management and how it can help companies really better understand what they need to enhance, where inefficiencies are, document procedures, and get a common understanding about how and what could be automated and what could be done more effectively. And as I was starting to think about this, I was thinking, okay, well, you know, I need to get there, and I need to get there in the most effective way, and I'd like to spend the least amount of money. So with that in mind, what I began to think about was how could we gamify travel and the purchasing of tickets a little bit more effectively? So let me give you the premise, Phaedra, and then I'd love to get your reaction to this because I think there could be some interesting stuff in it. Let's say that there was a game, and the game allows you to interact with any avenue at your disposal, the web, you know, your friends, you know, a telephone, your local travel agent, whatever, right? And let's say the game says, here's a city pair, and the game asks you to find the lowest cost travel between those city pairs on certain dates. You could be assigned a city pair. You could have one of the cities be your favorite travel destination. Maybe, you know, you always wanted to get to Honolulu. Maybe Barcelona is your cup of tea, whatever. And you're then assigned another city, and you're given a small set of time, right? So you get a little bit of that time game element to it. And you've got to find your best travel option to get from there to your destination and or back again. And as those results come in, they are then compiled, compared against one another. And for people who find the most effective travel route and the most inexpensive travel route, they could be entered into a drawing to potentially win that travel, which could be neat. Or they could opt to win travel vouchers, airline miles, discounts, et cetera, to other places of their choosing. And you could monetize the whole kit and caboodle via advertising, aggregation deals with hotels, car rental organizations, airlines, et cetera. What do you think?
I think that's very interesting. I had heard, of course, there are a bunch of web applications like Expedia and Travelocity that's supposed to do that crawling for you. But I had read an article maybe a couple of years ago that had said that even those sites would change their rates based on what browser you hit them with.
Yes, we talked about that on the show. We did.
So, you know, it makes me a little bit suspicious. But I do like that concept. And speaking of gamification of travel, have you heard of Sweden's speed camera lottery?
No.
Get this.
Okay.
So speeders, all right, there'll be it'll say 25 kilometers per hour, right? And right. There's a camera and a speed trap. Speeders, when they're caught, the fine goes into a pot. Abiders who stay within the speed limit, you're eligible to win. And get this. So the average speed, you know, the average speed before in a 25 kilometer per hour zone would be 32 kilometers per hour. So it was, you know, quite high. Whereas the average speed after, once these abiders have been given a carrot, because the stick obviously isn't enough, when they've been given a carrot, the average speed after is 25 kilometers per hour. So they're matching the speed.
Yeah.
So the speed reduction is 22% using this gamification technique of both the carrot and the stick.
So an abider, so someone who behaves by the rules and is driving no faster than 25 kilometers an hour, can they win like the entire month's speeding income? Is that how it goes, or is it?
I'm not sure how much.
That could be a lot.
But I love this concept so much. And, you know, it actually underscores a lot of the kinds of projects that I'm encountering lately in gamification. A lot of people are coming to me talking about gamification holding just sticks, right? Like, unless you reach this certain number of points, you're not going to be up for a promotion. Right. Yeah. Which to me feels like coercion more than anything else.
Right.
But, you know, with this kind of carrot and stick approach, I think it's very interesting to see what Sweden has done. Very cool. I got to go visit Sweden.
I would want to be driving on that route all the time. I mean,
that's
another thing too. You could just see people going out of their way. So now here you go. Hey, Waze guys, you're my friends. Are you listening? You could have a little option in Waze that says maximize my opportunity to win the abider, you know, methods, right? You know, take my – I don't care if my route now takes me an extra 10% to get to work. That's now my cost of entry to attempt to win.
You just made me think of something. So a negative of this could be
– more traffic.
Do you remember the town of Benson here in North Carolina where apparently there's this town – getting close to the beach outside of Raleigh, where it's notorious for people just driving up and down the main strip because that's the only thing to really do in town. I'm just wondering, with something like this, is that going to encourage people to just drive up and down under the speed limit just so they can win the lottery?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could see that happening. That place might turn into gridlock because You know, everyone's like, oh, hoping they could win. Now, of course, okay, when somebody wins,
there has to be a rule that says, okay, you know, you've already been flagged, so you're no longer eligible.
Or one entry per day.
Yeah, one entry per day or something to that effect.
Yeah, because otherwise you would have the law of unintended consequences begin to jump in on you there.
Exactly.
So I love this. And, you know, I will embed a little bit of it within my second idea. So I was swimming this morning and I was thinking about this travel idea, and I've got other variations on it. And I think there's some other, you know, neat things you could do. Like, well, actually I'll go there for a second. So like, for example, here's $1,000. Your starting point is in Nigeria. How far can you get for the $1,000? Right. Any mode of transportation you want, go, right? And you now can, you know, have some fun with that sort of thing too. And again, the world is your oyster. Go figure it out, right? You know, you could rent a car. You could walk. You could whatever. So there could be some fun stuff. But I started thinking about the games at work aspect of this. And I heard on the drive to the pool about a application that is used for measuring and competition for runners and bikers. And this application is called Strava, Strava. And I have not used it yet. I've only heard a little bit about it. So my understanding of how this works is that you can record the route that you're taking on the bike or on foot. And the application will measure your progress on it, will capture the details around it, and will log it into a database. And if you are the winner, that is, you know, if you were faster on that same route than somebody else who ran it or biked it, you will win the crown for that particular route. And apparently the community that uses this really loves that level of competition. And when they find out that somebody biked the route that they own, that they're the mayor of, and they beat them, right? You know, they're like, I got to get that back, you know, and that's where they go. So
very interesting.
I was thinking, okay, how could you apply this principle to work? And there are examples of sales competitions or call center games where people are incented right now. Let's use the call center example, and we've experienced this. I'm sure you have too, of the call center rep wants to get you off the phone as fast as possible because they're trying to get a certain number of calls in an hour, and there's a sales game that's associated with it. So maybe this isn't suited well to just the badges and leaderboard aspect. But maybe there's a way of saying, okay, so there is a process that we want people to comply with, and we want to get people to execute the process as quickly as possible. We want to minimize the number of escapes. We know that there will be some escapes, but we want to minimize the number of escapes. And we want to create a random element in the minimization of those escapes by having the people who abide by the process and who execute it in a timely, quick manner. So maybe there's a guideline in there that's timely and quick, and that of the population that executes the process within a timely and quick manner, there's a chance to win something of merit. Maybe a day off, maybe points towards picking something out of a nice catalog as a gift. There could be things along those lines. So I was trying to think about, while I was swimming, are there some differences between this idea and many of the other sales contests and other productivity measurements and leaderboard stuff that's already been done? And I think that the additional randomness and rewards structure, the carrot, could be a way of making this a little newer, a little more novel, and a little bit more interesting for people that would volunteer and opt in to play. What do you think about that?
I like this idea. I like it a lot. And I agree with you that there certainly needs to be the premise of the carrot, or else people – it won't really be sticky. And with regards to the rewards, also considering, you know, what is it that uniquely motivates the people to be participating? Is it stuff? Because I'm finding a lot of people are also, you know, thinking, you know, if I just give them stuff, then they'll do it. But that doesn't really stick across culture. I think, you know, figuring out what is meaningful, you know, for the different individuals playing. And when it comes to process and process execution, and I think we've had this conversation before in another show, is that a lot of times the adoption of process, there can be both cultural and political hurdles. Like, gee, if I change my process, does that mean that my job is at stake? Or does that mean that, you know, I'm going to have a loss of power? Or so, you know, things to consider. How is it that you might be able to use gamification or serious games just to give people a safe place to have to either think through what are the ramifications of adopting a new process or being able to vet it?
You know, so it's so interesting how all the worlds seem to combine here. So if you think about business process models, why couldn't we apply all the principles we just talked about to that?
Agreed.
Right. There is a game in there. We just have to kind of tease it out.
Right. I concur. And a lot of people are certainly chasing this right now. But, you know, because actually, I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks in the realm of business process management is people just don't understand what process is. Like, so then we need to come up with a new word. A new word for process, because seriously, people are like, what does this mean? We don't do process. It's very strange.
Weird. But
it's weird. It's weird. And I'm terrible at naming anything. So, you know, coming to me saying, give us a new word for business process management. I barely was able to name my kids. I stopped at the letter A, much less I can rename business process management.
I thought you got from A to Z. I thought you got both ends of the spectrum there.
Alexander. Well, I guess short.
Anyway, I think this is probably a good place to wrap up the show for today. Any final thoughts, anything you want to leave our listeners with for us for next time?
Yeah, some very, very interesting conferences coming up. Very interesting conferences. There's a big one that is focused on the evolution of transportation coming up at the end of October. It's being sponsored by ARTBA, A-R-T-B-A. And what they're talking about is next generation city sims and the evolution of automobiles and the way that we interact with cars, the way that we interact with highways. I mean, like, for example, what I revealed with what Sweden is doing with their speed traps. You know, how is it that we might be able to stretch this in all kinds of different directions associated with transportation? So I'm really excited to see what comes out of that.
Those sound really cool. And do you know offhand where those conferences are?
I believe this one is going to be in California. It'll be West Coast, and Google's going to be there, and Microsoft's going to be there, and IBM's going to be there. So it's going to be very interesting to see what comes out of it.
Very cool. Well, so between you and I, we've got some travel involved, and we'll figure out some games around it as we are winging our way to various places. Michael, we miss you, and we're looking forward to continuing the discussion online via Twitter, via Google+. Pick your channel. We're there, and we look forward to coming back again in a week's time with more Games at Work.
Indeed. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.